Welcome back, everybody. My name's Evan.
I'm Andrew.
And we're so glad that you joined us back on the BCC Pod. This is where we take what's happening in our church and what we're learning together and bring it into unscripted conversations that dive a little bit deeper. Whether you're tuning in on your drive, at the gym, or you're just relaxing at home, we're so glad that you're here. This week, we were talking about relational resilience and how to build a resiliency in your relationships and your friendships. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's a decent
summary of it.
Broader summary. Yeah. Why don't you talk a little bit about kind of what the core message of your sermon was? We were just talking before we started about how you haven't been here for so long, and I don't make the guests do sermon in four words. Yeah. So I almost missed throwing that at you. But why don't you summarize your sermon in four words, if you could?
Four words. Relationships, help, care, protect.
Nice.
That would be, my.
So within that kind of like main point and challenge, like what was kind of the core of your sermon and what you were trying to get across?
Yeah. The core of the sermon, or like the kernel for me, was that relationships are really powerful things and that we need to actually invest in them and that we can't take them for granted, and they require a kind of work, and they're something that's just really, really powerful in our world, in our lives, and just wanted to invite people really to prioritize them, I think would be the way I would kind of put it, to prioritize the friendships and through that develop resilience in them.
Within the kind of whole of the sermon and the topic itself, was there anything that you wish you could have gotten to that you didn't have time for?
Yeah, the one thing that I didn't have time for that I wish or we could have gotten more into was really then how do you deal with difficult or bad relationships? So I had a bunch of people asking me questions around that. This one, the focus was more around the importance of developing good ones, not so much of how do you handle like bad ones.
Yeah.
That's I would say probably like a different sermon, and it's stuff we've covered. I even did a sermon called like Necessary Endings, and it's stuff we have covered before, but that would be one thing that I think, like I had to cut just for time. I'm going to focus on the importance of how do you develop strong ones, not necessarily how do you manage or deal with bad or difficult or even toxic ones.
Yeah, I really appreciated kind of the focus on isolation and on loneliness as well. Like when you chatted about just that rising kind of issue in our culture. And I think it is like, it's something that we've kind of raised the flag on as a culture, that we know that this is happening, and we know people are getting are kind of more and more isolated, and that loneliness is becoming more of an epidemic. But it's funny that we like don't really seem to be doing anything to stop it either.
it's like we all know this is a major like issue, but then we don't really know practically what to do.
Yeah,
like it's not like there's
And even like individually, it can be so hard too, because I think oftentimes the kind of knee-jerk ways we would think to engage are often the things that are making us more lonely, right? So when you're in a lonely or an isolated space, jumping to social media or jumping to other things like that end up just consuming our time and keeping us in more of a lonely space, right?
Yeah. And
It just struck me as I was listening to you how I'm like, we really do kind of like are staring off the edge of a cliff and are like, that's going to be bad, but whatever, we'll get there. Like,
I think that's really true. I think it's too bad that, even I said on Sunday, it's too bad that we've kind of lost the ability to make friends like kids do, right? To see someone, to engage with them, and then to become friends. Like it's so much harder as adults, and it's a major thing that I think we all need to pay attention for sure.
We want to take a moment just to thank you for tuning in. If these conversations have sparked something in you, made you think, laugh, reflect, or even question a few things, we want to ask a small favor. Share this episode with someone you know. Maybe it's a friend, a family member, someone from your home church, or that one person who always sends you podcast links. Be the one to hit share first this time. Because let's be honest, faith isn't meant to be figured out alone. These kinds of conversations are better when they're shared. And who knows, you might be the reason someone else starts digging in deeper today. And speaking of going deeper, we want to hear from you. What's a question that you've been carrying lately? Something you've been wondering about faith, life, scripture, culture, or even something we said on this podcast that you want us to unpack more? Shoot us a text at 905-937-5300, or you can submit it through email, emailing me, Evan, or Andrew at evanorandrew@bethanycc.ca. No question is too big, too weird, or too simple. You help shape this podcast every time you listen, share, or send something in. So thank you so much, and let's keep the conversation going. All right, so we got some questions today.
Oh, good.
So the first one is, why do we often settle for shallow transactional relationships despite knowing they can't sustain us in times of crisis?
That's a great question. Mm. I think I give like two answers for it. Both that it's easy. Like, I think it's easier to do that. Mm. It's easier to not invest. It's easier to let things drift. It's easier just to be, I don't know, kind of friendlies, as we call them, or acquaintances with people, or, you know, people you have a laugh with but don't have much more depth. I think it's easier to develop those kind of relationships. The second one, and this one I think is, this is just occurring to me, but I think it's a deeper reason, is I actually think that's how our culture forms us to view relationships. Mm. I think we live in a really consumeristic society where it's very like things are like cheap, not like in the world, but like cheap, easy, quick is kind of like what we look for. And then I think we have that same kind of formation when it comes to friendships, rather than recognizing them as, I don't know, really powerful realities in our world that we, don't invest in them the same way. Because it takes time and effort and it's hard work. It's funny to think about relationships requiring hard work, but they do for them to be healthy and whole and good and deep and all of that.
Especially too, like as you're talking, I'm thinking about like deep, meaningful connection or deep relationships really is at its core counter to so many cultural values, right? You think about how to be kind of in deep and in just like impactful relationship with people, you have to be vulnerable, which is very countercultural, right? You have to give, right? You have to be generous and you have to be like sacrificial in that way. And that are just all things that are just counter to what we're told about everything that we consume, right? Yeah. And everything that we're engaged with. And maybe I'll ask it this way. Do you think that that is something that's like, that people consciously choose? Or do you think we're just so conditioned by culture to, like, that's just the way we operate?
I think like culture forms us without us knowing. I think that's what that's a good way of thinking about what culture is. It's how are we being formed without even recognizing it? What are our normals being placed at without us even consenting to that?
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to this area, I think that, we just get formed this way a lot without even realizing it. I also think too, sometimes perhaps we end up going for shallow relationships, maybe not even consciously, but because they're risky to be vulnerable. Mm. Like it's hard to lean into relationships. And when you do, sometimes you get burned. And I think most people would have a story of like when they got burned by a friendship that they were expecting. Like Lewis once said that to love is to risk. Mm. And I do think that that's true. So if we're going to open ourselves up to loving deep relationships, there's also the risk of being hurt, of being burned. Mm. And so sometimes then it's really easy to fall for the cheap, convenient, kind of more shallow relationships around us than the like loving deep ones.
Yeah. Our second question says, is it possible that resilience isn't just an individual trait, but a collective one, something that we can only truly develop within the context of community?
Hmm. Wow. That too is a really great question.
This one got me. I was like, I started reading and I was like, oh, okay. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, oh man, that's like, yeah. I think the kind of what I might spin with it is like, how much does collective resiliency matter when it comes to building our own resiliency?
Oh, I think it matters tremendously. I've never really thought about it that way.
Yeah.
That if you're going through a crisis or a challenge, it can't just be you alone. Like you actually need community around you. And I think when you have friends, relationships, this is kind of the connection back into our thing. We have friends, relationships who are also like resilient and strong. Like that's going to be incredibly important. I just think so often we see things through an individualistic lens. And maybe even I was doing that coming into this like series with resilience and thinking, oh yeah, I didn't even think about communal resilience as a way of functioning in the world. Cause I think we're just so individualistic, whether we realize it or not, that's culture forming us.
Yeah.
So that's a great question.
Cause that would be something that would be modeled out in scripture. Yeah. Like the idea of communal resiliency.
Yeah. We think like the early church, like they relied on they really relied on one another. Or if you look at the New Testament, there are so many verses, they're called like the one another verses. Mm-hmm. And they're like, do this for one another, for this, for one another. And they're all throughout, there's like 100 of them. Mm. Or maybe that's a bit high, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I think that, the resiliency is also found in the community and communal practices together and being together. It's not something you just build on your own. It's actually something you can build together as a community.
Yeah. Cause I think support is not always tangible, right? Mm. When we talk about individual or personal resiliency. Just the, like, knowing that you have people in your life and knowing that you have a community of support goes a long way for your own resiliency and your own ability to bounce back, regardless of the practical support you might gain from that community as well. Like, I think there's something really, if you have a really good, strong community around you, that will change how you feel in those situations just by nature of them being there.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. It's like a safety net for you, right? Yeah. You just know that that's there for you, especially if you have a good, strong kind of, resilient community around you.
Yeah. Question three says, how do we push back against culture's message about relationships being commodities?
Oh, that one. These are all, like, we get good questions, but these are all, like, very, very excellent based questions, if not judging them. But but no, we do commodify everything. Mm-hmm. And so then I think we take relationships and we don't make them into relationships. They become ways to use one another. Mm-hmm. And they become, like, performance-based. They become, you know, asset-based. Like, what can this relationship get for me? I think... it's funny. Even I was texting with a friend, cause I said to them, I'm not sure I've been, I was in a great space the last time we hung out to be a good friend. Mm-hmm. And, they responded back and they said, like, only you would think that relationships are about performance, which I thought was a great line to remind us that relationships aren't about performance. They aren't about commodities or being commodified, that they're actually, things that are meant to be shared and given and, just kind of walked with. So I think the main way is, I would still say, like, helping, caring, and protecting are good ways to make sure that we don't turn them into things that are commodified or consumeristically kind of just used. And so I would go back to that. I think helping, caring, and protecting is a good way to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned these questions because I just preview the next two and they get better. So
okay.
Question number four says, is loneliness today more of a result of societal structure or personal choice? How much responsibility do we bear for our own isolation?
Mm. Wow. These are all questions that are, like, super deep. I do think loneliness today is massively impacted by our societal structure. I think that I would weight it, if we're going to be weighting things like whether it's on personal responsibility or societal structure, I would weight it really strongly on societal structure. You think in other generations, it was not, like, uncommon for you to grow up and to live with extended family all around you that became kind of your friends and your support network. You think back to Jesus' day and age, that was the safety net, was your extended family, your community, that sort of stuff. But today we live in such a highly individualized, I would also say mobile culture, that because people move around a lot more than they ever did before, it's very easy to be starting again. And in starting again, you're starting with friendships again and trying to make friends for the first time if you move to a new city or whatever else that is. I think our individualized mobile culture is really affecting our ability to make relationships and to make strong, ongoing ones.
Yeah. This one I think is fascinating because it gets into some things that you wouldn't expect to feed into isolation and loneliness, but do. Specifically, like, if we want to get into, like, some really, we won't actually get into this, but, like, even down to, like, the way our cities are laid out and how we actually design for, businesses and commodity and all those things rather than for community and connection, and how, like, even 100 years ago, the odds of you having more like just forced interaction because of how a city was set up or how work was set up or how, right, all these different things. Whereas now it's like we just don't have that sort of interaction anymore, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that most of the time you're, what you need is not close to where you live. So you have to drive through places to go get to grocery stores or to schools or that sort of thing. And you just lose a bunch of opportunity for connection with people. Yeah. And
there was a famous person, now I'm forgetting her name, who wrote about New York City and what kind of brought about some of the downfall of it. And she wrote about the lack of front porches becoming a problem. This is when you're talking about cities and just even our structure. So you drive into, or especially if you live in the suburbs, you'd have a car, you drive it into the, into your garage, you get out of your garage, you go into your house, and you would never interact with anyone, even your neighbors. And that the downfall of the front porches, like, we don't have front porches the same way where people hang out, as they did, like, 60, 80 years ago or whatever it was. And so, it was a fascinating, like, read to be like, even some of those small things, increase loneliness or individualism or a lack of connection with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a, I read a really good article from a lady who did an experiment where she flipped her front yard and her backyard. And she was just like, why are we hidden away doing all these things that we say we love, right? Yeah. Just because we want some sort of privacy from our neighbors. So she just moved literally her entire backyard. She just flipped it. That's cool. And she was like, over the next 6 months, she was like, I've gotten to know my neighbors better. I've had more interactions. My kids have made like deeper friendships on the street. Like it was like all these things just from a simple flip like that. But it is those things, right? Like even the, like driving into your home and never having those interactions, like things you don't necessarily think of.
Yeah.
Or things that might be considered like luxury, right? Like you don't have to see your neighbors, right?
Yeah.
You can just drive right in. Like,
That's a really fascinating idea about, about flipping your backyard and your front yard and the impact it has. Yeah.
Our last question for today says, what role should the church play in being not just a spiritual community, but a true relational safety net for the lonely and brokenhearted?
Yeah, I think that is the calling of the church. That really, the church is, I think, is meant to be a training ground for how we then live out the rest of our lives. And we're called to then care for those who are lonely, who are hurting, who are broken and in difficult spaces. I think that the church is meant to be doing that. And at its best, that's what the church does. Mm. But it's hard because we've already talked a lot on this podcast just about how much culture forms us for individualism and isolation. And so then when we come together as church, we are fighting against that. That's actually why it's important to gather and to come together in all sorts of various like formats, whether that's home church on Sunday mornings, like youth or Celebrate Recovery or Support Recovery programs. All of those are ways for us to try to fight against that culture of individualism and isolation. So I think we're all called to be the kind of this, the safety net for those people. We're called to rally around people. And that's important work to be done. I think actually the word I would use to describe that kind of thing is ministry. Mm. Like that's what that is. We have a ministry to those who are hurting, lost, lonely, broken, all that kind of stuff.
Mm. Honestly, I think that's the best way to put it. I have nothing else to add. That was very good. So that's a wrap for today's episode. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We love having these conversations, but they're even better when you're a part of them. So if you have questions, thoughts, or topics you'd love to hear about, you can shoot us a text at the number in the description. We'd really love to hear from you. And before you go, don't forget to subscribe to the BCC pod so you never miss an episode. And if you're enjoying the pod, do us a favor and leave a quick rating or review. It's a simple way to help others find us and be encouraged as well. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you all on Sunday and back here next week.